This is PhotoBizX, episode number 561, and today's special guest made the transition from corporate life to photography business, and in the last few short years, she's gone from zero clients to a $440,000 US revenue. Her profit is over 50%. Her average client spend is $6,000, and she's photographing both families and headshots. She does it in studio and outdoors, and you will be blown away by what she shares in this interview regarding the way she does business, the way she outsources, the way she does her culling and editing. Yeah, this one is an eye-opener. Our special guest is Andre Toro, and I know you are going to love her as much as I do. That interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here, host of the PhotoBiz X podcast, where I interview guests from around the world to help you build a better photography business, even faster than going it alone. And like I said, you are going to love Andre and what she shares. That interview is coming up in just a minute. If you didn't catch the last couple of episodes of the podcast, you absolutely need to get back and have a listen to them. Last week, I featured Mallory Morrison. She is an underwater fine art portrait photographer. I really pushed Mallory in that episode because she has such an easy path to massive profits if she was to forego at least some of the fine art photography work she's doing and just charge for her incredible underwater portrait photography with paying clients. But instead, she is 100% focused on building the fine art photography sales. She wants to sell to art collectors, and that's probably why she is already as successful as she is. She does share a ton in that interview, and you have to see her work. It is mind-blowing. And the week before that, I interviewed Corinda Kinsler. She is an equine photographer, also a photography business coach. She is the coach responsible for helping recent interview guest Kim Kuhlman reach her highest photography sale to date. And it was 6 times more than she'd ever made in the past. Corinda shares exactly how to do that. And it all comes down to treating every client like a $20,000 client, which is why Corinda is able to achieve the massive average sales that she does. So get back and have a listen to either or both of those interviews if you've missed them. Episode 559 with Corinda Kinsler and episode 560 with underwater photographer Mallory Morrison.
You're listening to the number one photography business podcast with Andrew Helmich, photobizx.com.
Now, just before we do jump into this interview with Andre Toro, I did mention in last week's episode, I was super excited to announce the upcoming masterclass. It's happening next week with Joel Dunn. He has finally agreed to share his third-party marketing strategy after multiple years of pestering from me. And I know, I am 100% certain that this strategy will be a game changer for you if you are already established as a photography business, if you do in-person sales, and you are looking for another marketing strategy to bring incredible leads to your business without using social media or paid ads. This is third-party marketing on steroids, and the beauty of this strategy that Joel will be sharing, and I got to watch a webinar on this, which was presented by Jacinta, who will be here on the live call with Joel next week. She is the one that's responsible for implementing this system in Joel's business. So I got a good idea of exactly what this is all about. So to give you a clearer idea of just how amazing this is, if you understand how third-party marketing works, you partner with a business that is servicing or serving your ideal clients, you get vouchers into their hands, they contact you for a session, and then you go on to deliver an incredible session. You sell them wall art afterwards, above and beyond the value of the voucher that they received. One of the scary things for so many photographers I speak to about that third-party marketing strategy is going out to partner and you know, set up meetings with these partner businesses. Well, the strategy that Jacinta and Joel will be sharing is similar, but it's different in the way that you reach out to different kinds of businesses. You'll be reaching out to schools, sporting clubs, kindergartens, any association or business that does any kind of fundraising that is also serving or servicing your ideal client. So you'll be partnering with them. And the beauty of this relationship is those businesses, those schools, those kindies, those associations are looking for partner businesses to help them with their fundraising. So you go in and help them raise funds by offering vouchers for your photography. Get those vouchers into the hands of your ideal clients, have them book a session with you, and then go on to sell your incredible wall art to them. So you can see the massive difference is the people that you're reaching out to are looking for your help. This isn't a scary conversation to have. They want you to get in touch with them to help them with their fundraising. Now, having gone through the training with Jacinta last week, yeah, it's got everything there laid out for you. The emails that you send to get in touch with these associations to build these relationships, the phone call scripts that you'll be using to get in touch with these partner associations, what to include in your voucher, how much to include it for, what you need to do to get those voucher recipients to contact you. There's some really cool things that Jacinta shared that they weren't doing, that once they added into their packs, increased the number of calls they got dramatically from the voucher recipients. Everything here is laid out for you step by step to go away and implement this yourself in your business. So look, if you are one of those photographers who has been wishing for a way to generate fantastic leads without paid ads, without SEO, without using social media, this is it. And what I think is vitally important is if you get in at the beginning with this strategy in your local area, it means you can go and contact all the different schools, the preschools, the kindies, the sporting clubs, the different associations. You can do all that first and get them into your orbit, into your world as your partner businesses before other photographers do. This can be your little baby in your area. So if you're looking for a new marketing strategy to bring in leads, come and do this masterclass with Joel. It's happening next week. If you can't make the live training, you'll get access to the recording and all the supporting documents, which will be part of a standalone course on the PhotoBizX website after the live training. Remember, the cost is only $197. It doubles after the live training next week. And as with everything that I provide on the PhotoBizX platform, if you do this training and you feel it's not a good fit, even once you've gone through it, you let me know and I will happily refund you 100%. I want this to be successful for you. It has to be a good fit. I want you to go and succeed with what you learned from Joel and Jacinta. So look, register for it, put it into action and go and reap the rewards. Diversify your marketing away from Facebook, away from Google. Get out there and have some real conversations in a real easy way with people that actually want to hear from you. I really do believe this could be a game changer for your business. There are more details over at photobizx.com/community. It's photobizx.com/community. Oh, and I did ask Joel, will this work for newborn photographers? Will it work for pet photographers? And the answer is unequivocally yes. It will change a little bit in regards to the type of associations or businesses or schools that you reach out to. But if there is an association that is raising money from or of or with the help of your target client, then yes, this system, this strategy will work for you. Again, you can find out more and listen and watch some testimonials from other photographers already utilizing this strategy over at photobizx.com/community.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
One very last thing. If you are hearing this announcement, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. Now, what that means is you will not hear the full interview today with Andre. I am saving the second half, or a large portion of the second half, the best parts of the second half, for premium members only. The good news, you can access the whole interview for as little as $1 with a 30-day trial. And there are more details about that over at photobizx.com/try. And I can guarantee you do want to hear the full interview today with Andre, because she shares a ton of helpful info to help you grow your own photography business.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Today's guest is a US-based Venezuelan mother of two. And before photography, she was an electrical engineer with an MBA from MIT, a self-proclaimed nerd, math lover, and businesswoman to the core. 5 years ago, she had a life wake-up call following a massive concussion that stopped her for literally months. And she decided that life was too short not to follow her biggest passion and decided to quit her corporate job and pursue photography full-time, which until then had only been a hobby that she loved. Now, when she started 5 years ago in photography, she had zero clients. And in 2023, her revenue was $440,000. And she says that she's just getting started. She's based in Lexington, north of Boston. She runs an IPS studio specializing in family portraits and headshots. I'm talking about Andre Toro, and I am rapt to have her with us now. Andre, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me here. Excited to spend time with you.
Well, first of all, you have to tell us what happened with this concussion.
Yes, well, that's kind of like my wake-up call, right? So I was such a busy corp woman, managing a big team in Wayfair. I didn't have time to spare, and I was buying some tickets to Portugal, and the browser was going to expire, and I didn't have time to refresh the browser. So I'm like running down the stairs to get to my computer because I needed to finalize the purchase of some tickets to Portugal. And I jumped to get faster to my computer and I gained height. And when I did that, I knocked myself because there was a door at the bottom of the stairs. So I jumped and I gained height. So I hit the door, I bounced back and forward. So I had three concussions in one, which was horrible. I could have been killed in a freak accident. And it put me literally on medical leave for almost 5 months. So I went from superhero, mom of two, working full time in a big corp job to you have to take time off, who knows, indefinitely until this brain injury came down. But I lost my ability to do math. I couldn't remember three numbers in a row. I had to do vestibular therapy, executive therapy, vestibular therapy, cognitive therapy. So it was a really, really long journey out of being rushed and running down the stairs.
Unbelievable. So how long into that 5 month period did you decide you weren't going to go back to the corporate job?
So I started meditating. So the headaches were so bad that my doctor is like, okay, Andrea, I'm giving you like 6 weeks or so to start meditating to see if we can control the headaches. And through meditation, like, and literally doing nothing, but like thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, it became clearer and clearer and clearer. I always joke with my husband back in Seattle that someday I'm going to be a photographer full time. But when would you? I had a big salary. I had a big job. I'm very ambitious, like A-plus personality. I was going up the ladder. I was managing a team of 40 people. Like life was good. And like, when did you quit that? Like never, right? Unless literally a concussion hits you to the ground. So when I was thinking, I was like, this is it. Like, why not? Like, why not now? Like, I will never, ever will have a second chance to just pause and think what I wanted to do. So I talked to my husband. He's an entrepreneurial spirit. And he's like, go for it. Like he didn't hesitate. He's like, absolutely. Like I've seen you grow businesses in Microsoft, in Wayfair. Why not do it for yourself? But he's like, okay, we're going to do this, but you cannot have an entrepreneurial salary and a Rockefeller mindset and heart, right? Like we cannot leave the Rockefeller salary without the income. So like, if you're completely okay to going from like a big salary to zero, I'm all in. Like we were the all income family. Like we're just going to live off his salary. And I was like, I'm all in. So we changed to travel two times a year internationally with the kids to go camping, right? And like the first year, we just switched lifestyles. He's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this right. And it was amazing to have his support. Like he didn't hesitate. And that was it. So I never looked back. I remember going back to Wayfair and talking to my manager at a time who I adore. She happens to be now the CFO there in Wayfair. And a bunch of other people. And I was like, you know what? This is it. I'm quitting. I'm pursuing photography full time. And people is like, Andre, you just hit your head. You're not thinking straight. This doesn't make any sense. I was like, no. You're not understanding. I'm not going to be an artist. Like, this is not a hobby. This is going to be big. I'm going full time. I'm building a brand. Like, I'm not going to be a photographer. Like, I'm building a studio. And wait, give me 5 years. This is going to be so big. And literally, my studio turned 5 years in November. And my studio made more money than my Wayfair salary. So it came to fruition, but it was a huge leap that was beyond scary. And most people did not understand, including my adored mom. She's like, are you sure? I remember taking her with me to the bank to open the bank account. And she's like, Andre, are you sure? I was like, Mom, like, this is going to be big. You just have to wait. But for a Venezuelan, like, I came to the U.S. for education. I went to MIT. Like, I'm an academic nerd. This, like, jumping to this was not in my script. It was completely off script. Even though I went to MIT, that is an entrepreneurial, like, school, I didn't take most of the entrepreneurial classes because in my core was not to be an entrepreneur. So this just came naturally and it was just the right time. So I said, why not now? And I jumped and I never, ever looked back. I went all in, literally, LLC the next day. I opened my bank account. I went to a lawyer and within 48 hours after quitting, I had a company.
Wow.
And a logo and a name and I was running.
Unreal. So it sounds like you didn't waste time, you know, or a lot of time, you know, getting a logo, coming up with a business name, designing a website. You just said, okay, this is it. So did you do all those things first or did you try and get clients first?
So that's a great question. So yes. So the logo, my husband's cousin did it for me, like free at a time. I still have that logo. I love it. But I wasn't picky. I was like, perfect action is better than imperfect inaction, right? So I was like, I'm just moving forward and I will fix. Like my motto is like, I'm going to be building the plane while I am in the air. Like I will never wait for the plane to be completely built to do something. So I literally like jumped ship and then started like getting clients. So I was like, who am I going to get clients from? Like we had just moved from Seattle to Boston like 2.5 or 3 years before. So I didn't have like much of a community. So, okay, through my sister, my identical twin sister lives in the same town that I do. And I was okay, her friends. So my first clients were all dentists, right? Because she's a dentist. Like all her friends had kids. So I was okay, I'm photographing you and you. To this day, those have been my best clients ever. They've grown with me. Like I still, now it's easier to hire me. But back then, it was a big bet. It's like, sure, why not? I think they felt bad saying no to Danny's sister. So they said yes to whatever I asked. And that's how it started. So I started and then I remember one client asked me like, do you do tree farm sessions? And I was like, sure, absolutely. Yes. But I'm going to be like launching those in 2 weeks.
Okay. Sorry, Andre, what kind of sessions were they?
At tree farm, because I launched my business in October. So tree farms is in the US. There's Christmas tree farms with all the Christmas decor. Basically imagine like an open field, huge of trees. And it's like a typical holiday card type of photo shoot, right?
Got it.
And this client was asking for that, but I didn't know that existed, similar to you. I was like, Christmas, what? Like, yes, I absolutely do that. Yes. Give me like 2 weeks. I'm about to like launch the dates. I came home to Google, like, Christmas tree farms, what is this? Oh, in a farm. Okay. Like, so I started like calling farms and like visiting farms. And I made a deal with a farm who charged me like outrageous amount of money, but I was like, okay, I'm going on it. It's exclusive. It's this and that, because I wanted to be high end from the beginning. And that's how I launched that. Another day, someone asked me like years later, do you do like Ruby sessions? Absolutely. Yes. I'm in the process of like doing that. Came home. What is Ruby? Ruby apparently is a truck, like a holiday truck where you put the kids in the back and it's kind of like a Christmassy setting. So a bunch of stuff I've launched throughout the years just because people have asked me to, and it's still within the family that is my niche. But are specific things that are fun projects and not necessarily my core. But I was like, absolutely, like, why not? So that has happened. And Ruby last year brought 27K. Ruby, this truck, like a truck.
So you hire the truck and you use that as a prop and photograph families on the truck.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not going to be like what's going to take me to 1 million, but it gave me 27K in 2 days, like photographing 8 families in a truck.
So hang on, so 8 families brought in 27K, so $3,000 average.
Yep.
Or a bit more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, it's not my biggest sale. As of now in 2023, my average sale is $6,000. Every time I pick up my camera, that's my average.
So your average sale in 2024 is $6,000.
In 2023. I haven't, like in 2023, last year. So in 2023, my average was $6,000. Yes.
Unbelievable. Okay. Let me just take you back. I want to go back a couple of steps. When you look at your work from 5 years ago, What was the quality of photography compared to today? Has it changed much?
It has changed. So that's a great question. So the nerd in me, I was like, okay, I'm doing this right. So before getting into the business that I had a hand because of all my background, I was like, okay, I think I can do business pretty well, but I don't have the art, right? So let me get there first. So I was like, okay, I'm flying to Panama. And my husband is like, what? I'm going to go and meet Catalina Avila. And he's like, who is that? She's the guru in Latin America, right? Like, she is this amazing, like, super classic portrait photographer. She does this. And then my husband is like, okay, go. So everything that I did in my corp job, like going to workshops, like going to all this education, I replicated. So I flew to Panama, spent like 4 days with this awesome kick-ass photographer to learn the in and outs of her style, but she was like too pose, too classic. Like imagine a kid holding an apple under a tree, like very timeless classic. But she taught me to edit. She taught me Photoshop. I had never opened Photoshop in my life. She taught me all the in and outs of the flow and editing, how to treat like the children and the kids. So that was super fun. But after that, I was like, okay, I learned that, but that's not my style. I wanted to be candid. I'm a passionate soul. And this work is too, like, doesn't have emotion, right? It's too flat. So I was like, who do I learn from? So then I learned from Stormy Solis, who is like my absolute favorite family photographer that is all candid. So I took all her classes, all her workshops, like in and out, Stormy Solis. And then I merged both to create my own style that I call it real art photography. So it's candid moments, like fine art inspired by candid moments, right? Because it still had that fine art touch, but it speaks from the heart. So I kind of merged it. So my style definitely has like progressed throughout the years, right? Because what it was in the beginning was mostly picking up my camera and creating art on the go. And then it started as I put more education into it. Obviously, the ball started rolling and I flew to epic places. I flew to Alaska to a workshop, to Joshua Tree to a workshop, like to Panama. Like you take me, I was going to Bali and then COVID hit. So I would have traveled the world just to like meet these amazing photographers to get inspired by. And then ultimately like get to where I am. That is kind of like a merge of here and there until I created the style that speaks to my heart.
So knowing what you know now in regards to your photography and your business acumen, would you go through the same steps? Do you think your pricing, you know, your pricing has gone up because of your business knowledge or because of your photographic quality from what you know how to shoot?
Business. You can be a mediocre, like crappy photographer and make tons of money. But it's the best experience to be the best of both worlds, right? Like if you can deliver an amazing experience and like for me, I'm a perfectionist and like a too driven not to have a good product to deliver. But I've seen photographers whose job, like whose work, it's not my style. I would consider like meh. And they're making so much money. So like if I would have to put my eggs in a basket, I would have done business first. But because I had the business background, I went art first. But if I didn't have any, or if I was like a stay-at-home mom or like an artist that wanted to jump into the business full time, I would definitely go business first. But the steps, I did it backwards in a way because I already had a good solid base. So for me, it was priority to get into the art. But like my delta in revenue has always been business related, never art related. It's just like my own perception.
What do you mean by my delta? What does that mean?
So I was averaging around 140, 150 a year, and I thought I was killing it. I thought I was like luxury photographer. Like I truly believed it. I hadn't made my wafer salary yet, which I had promised my husband that by year five, we were definitely going to be better off. But I was in the path, like it was a steady, but I had hit a ceiling. I was like, I cannot get past 150. And I had done my math back and forward. I knew how many sunsets in a year, how many sunrises. I didn't have a studio at the time. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to make more than 150. Like, because every single session was priced in a way it was a shoot and burn. So every single session had a ceiling. I knew exactly how much every single client was going to spend. I multiply the amount of work I was willing to make in a year. And I was frustrated. And then I'm having dinner with two colleagues on December of 2022. And we're talking about me, luxury photographer. And this friend is like, Andre, you're not a luxury photographer. Like, come to the ground. I was like, why? Andre, there's some people that make 10 single client. I was a client. How? Yes, Andre, those are luxury photographers. You're not. You're just like a very expensive shoot and burn. I was like, what is that? But she didn't elaborate because she was not making the 10K, but she had read somewhere. So I got home that same night and Googled how to make 10K on a single client. And then wall art came up and I was like, oh, I'm not selling products. Like, yes, of course. Like this is it. So I changed my whole business model come January 1st. I literally disregarded 4 years of business and put it in the trash. I was like, this has been fun, but like, I'm going to hit. I thought 300K. I wanted to double my income. Little did I know that I would have gone from 140 to 440 in a single year. And it was just insane. I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I have to do. But see, I have no friends photographers. Like, all my friends are dentists, doctors, engineers, like nerds. Like, no one is in this world. So like, I hadn't found you or your podcast either. So like, you hadn't taught me the in and outs. So Google taught me, and I was like, okay, this is it. So I started taking classes. I didn't know what IPS was. Like, in my world, like, IP what? And that was it. Like, it was before and after. I was like, I'm never ever going back to shoot and burn, because now I can deliver an experience to my clients that is full service. And that has been life changing, both for me and for my clients. What I get to deliver now has nothing to do with what I was delivering before. And that's how I can average 6K per client.
Incredible. Just incredible. Let me take you back to when your sister, your identical twin sister, introduced you to her friends. Were they all Venezuelan? Were they all South American? Or were they?
No. They were dentists. No, not at all. They were dentists from Boston University. That's where she was at. So like, all sort of clients. I had a client from Iran, a client from Dominican Republic, a U.S. client, like whoever she knew, right? My other sister was too old because she's an empty nester. And she's like, I'm sorry, Andrew, I have no clients to give you. Like, all my their kids are in college. No one is interested in family photos. But yeah, like, it was whoever. And at that time, I was charging still $375. And I had nothing. But for me, that was like, I'm not doing it for less than that. Like, I'm better off. So now that sounds ridiculous with my pricing. But at that time, I went from charging nothing to charging, like, I think $425 was my first, or $450. It was around that time. And then I went up to like $525, $625. So I started like raising my pricing, like, really steady from there. But even from the beginning, I was charging. So I think I took 2-3 clients to have something to show, to tell people that I was not going to murder them in an open field and I was actually a photographer. But after that, I started charging. Yeah. And I don't give discounts. And I did not give discounts back then either. I don't believe in discounts.
So what about today, Andrea? Like, how would you describe your clients today? Who is your avatar?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So interesting enough, a bunch of people that were with me in my shoot and burn days are still with me. I lost a few when I changed over because obviously now I'm not affordable for them. They were more price sensitive, but other people who are in love with what I do have grown up with me. And now they don't do 2 sessions a year or maybe 3 sessions a year. They see me once a year. But I was able still from 2022 to 2023 that I did the big jump, 100K came from repeat clients.
Wow.
Which was incredible because I thought I would have lost them all. I was willing to lose them all, which was really hard. I remember when I told my husband I was making this big switch, he's like, are you sure? Andre, I've always trusted you, but this seems radical. You're like 10x the current price. And I was like, yep, I'm going to be losing, but I'm going to be gaining and this and that. And like, my math, I can get to 300. And he said, okay, go. But I was really scared to lose a bunch of all my clients, but a bunch of them stayed. I lost, but then those that stayed spend tons. So they were spending probably $1,500 before when they were spending a lot. And then last year they spent $10,000 with me or $15,000 with me. And it's not that their salary is tripled. It's just their investment in me and the value that they see in my current job.
Yeah. The whole story is incredible. And I love it because it's all true. And I'm hearing it from you. But I guess the way I should have phrased my question is, are you leveraging the fact that you're South American and targeting South American people? Because what I'm worried is that the listener is thinking, ah, no wonder Andrea is successful. She's Venezuelan. She's got a South American community in America. She's targeting those people. That's where she's getting all her clients. I can't do that.
Oh, if only they would know that I don't get to work with Venezuelans. They will not pay me. They think I'm crazy.
too expensive.
Yeah, I'm too expensive. Like, none of my friends hire me and I'm okay. I'm not giving discounts. They don't hire me. So even my own network doesn't hire me. Like, I'm not my ideal client. And everyone like around me, Venezuelans in the community, no. Like, I pulled the stats the other day. I think I have 5% of my base are like speak Spanish. It's like, yeah, everyone is American, like literally, like the bulk of them. And I'm okay with that. And I actually prefer working with people that have no idea who I am. No idea who I am, but they just come through Google referrals, whatever. Like, they don't ask for discounts or they don't expect that I'm going to lower the price because we have some, like, so like we're Venezuelan or we're Latin. Like, no, like, these are just people that found me organically. So no, I do not I wish But they don't want to pay me, Andrew. What can I say? I really wish.
That makes the story even better. It makes the story even, because it shows there's no excuse, like anyone can do what you're doing. So who are your clients? Are they dentists, engineers, doctors, solicitors? Is that who they are today?
Yeah, so it's a mix. So there's definitely a mix of people that come through me. But yes, there's all sorts. So obviously I started with my sister, the dentist, and all her network. But to this point, it's really, really mixed. Like, I cannot point out to say I have a specific, like, family style, because it's those who value family above everything. And those come in different shapes and colors. So my number one client happens to be, like, married to a policeman. And, like, she, like, spends big with me. And, like, she's one of my most adored clients. The other one is a stay-at-home mom, and the husband works in a hedge fund. And then the other person, like, is a teacher in the school, in my kid's school, an elementary school. She doesn't get paid well. I know her salary, but she values family above all. So it's a matter of what do you value. Like, the mansions that I go to with, like, a tennis court inside are not my biggest spenders. But it doesn't matter how much money you have. It's like, how do you value family, or like what I get to offer, above anything else? You might spend $500 in shoes and you might only spend $3,000 with me because you just don't value photography that much. And there's other people that buy their shoes every, 4 years and are spending $10,000 with me. I received like thank you notes saying like, Andre, I cannot believe I did this. I feel so good. I've never spent this amount of money. But if I'm going to spend it in something, I'm going to spend it in family memories. And that means to me so much. So I have a marketing agency now, and they ask me that question. It's like, oh, so who are we targeting? So I just built for the first time my persona, like 2 weeks ago. I was like, okay, I can give you one. So I picked like, 4 or 5 clients that were like, Andre, there's nothing in common with these people. And I was like, yes, because it's what they value, not where they come from.
Right. Okay. So then how do you get yourself in front of your ideal client if they're so different, so unique? I know they all love their family, but how do you find those people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as of now, 20% of my clients come through SEO. So Google is kind of like a big place for me. I've spent time in SEO since I launched my business. I still don't rank number one or number two for family photographer. If you look for me in Google, everyone listening to this might be depressed because I don't rank high, but for those specific keywords in the tails, I write blogs, like it actually picks up. So Google, even though that I do not rank in the page one, and I wish I was, because then I would have already hit 1 million probably, I still get 20% of my 440 came through SEO. The other 20% were actually repeat clients, right? So repeat clients was like 100K that came last year. Then another big bulk was referrals. So that's a huge machine for me. About 18% were referrals from people that have loved working with me. And interesting enough, these were people that were shoot and burn with me. And they were referring people to me in an IPS world. So these friends would have said, oh my God, like my friend spent $6,000. No, their friend spent $2,000 last year, but now you're spending $6,000 because what I'm offering has nothing to do with what I used to offer. But those referrals, I was able to close them still. And then I also get about 13% of a local Facebook group in my community that are super loyal to me. They started with me 5 years ago when I posted in this mom's group, like, I am a photographer, this and that. And to this day, like last year, 56K came from that local Facebook mom's group. Just that group, a single Facebook group gave me 56.
So what are you running promotions in that group, offers, specials?
No, I don't do promotions, like ever. I just advertise, but I never, ever run promotions. I'm never on discount. I'm a luxury brand. So Ferrari doesn't do discounts. So I never, ever do discounts. And I don't have pricing in my website either. So
I don't want to cut you off here, because you've got 20% SEO, 20% repeat clients, 18% referral, 13% Facebook group. It must be a little bit more somewhere.
Yes, I have the graph here so I can tell you. So actually, I didn't say it correctly. So repeat clients is 24%, SEO is 20%, referrals are 18%, the Facebook group that I just mentioned is 13%, and then the bulk that you're missing out is in-person networking that I get to do. So I do a bunch of networking. I'm always networking. So if I'm not shooting, I'm meeting someone, like ongoing, like in-person marketing for me, it's key. So last year, for example, I was part of BNI. That is an organization to referrals network. it kind of like gave me exposure to a different town that I was not to. This year, I'm not part of BNI because those were, it was too much of time commitment and their average spend was like 3K. They were the less people spending. So they were mid-market. And I was like, it's not my ideal client. But I go to, for example, MIT events once a month. It's a women and wine. So once a month, all the MIT Sloan, the MBA alumni, get together for wine. And I go, I do not miss it. And I just go there to mingle and like talk to people. And every time I go, there's a client that books. So I book like a senior session, 16K client, and then another client, 10K client. Just out of like putting my face in front of them, I go to the Chamber of Commerce in my town.
Andrea, I want you to take me to one of those meetings, you know, the women and wine meetings with the MIT group. So like you're mingling, does someone just say, Andrea, what do you do? And then do you go into a spiel or do you hand a business card or a brochure? Like how do you?
No, I never have business cards and it's on purpose. Never, ever have business cards with me.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
I've got one more question to ask you. Totally removed from photography, it's about speaking Spanish. Before I ask you that, where is the best place for the listener to see more of your work? And I'm sure people are going to contact you and want you to teach them and coach them. Can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would love, again, like I love coaching. I truly do. I still have my mentees that I don't charge them. I've taken them under my wing and they're flying under me. So I love mentoring people. So yes, they can find me. So Instagram, my handle is AndreaToroPhotography. I answer to any single DM. And again, this is not a vanity number. I hit 440K and I only have, I think, 2,500 followers in Instagram. And my Facebook, I think, has maybe 600 followers. So that's to say that social media is not where the money is, right? Like I post for the sake of it's my diary and I write captions or I run out of captions when I'm writing. I'm that person. But my followers are not there, right? So it doesn't come through there. But I answer to everyone there. And then you can also email me at andre@andretorophotography.com. I reply to every single email that comes my way. If I don't, my studio manager will flag me and will put you into the top of my inbox. Facebook, you can also reach out. That's complicated. So my Facebook is my Venezuelan name. So it's Andre Ina Toro. But look for me, curly hair. He's going to put up pictures. So if you see a picture that looks like me, that's me.
What I'll do, Andre, is I'll add links to anywhere and everywhere the listener can find you in the show notes to go with the audio today. So we'll make it very easy for the listener to find you and also to go and check out your work, which I haven't even talked about your work. It's absolutely beautiful. Like you really are a talented photographer, you know, in addition to being so good at business. The last thing I wanted to ask you, just to finish off about speaking Spanish, I read somewhere you have this little, I don't know if I call it a trick, on the way you teach your daughters how to speak Spanish. When are they allowed to speak? When do they have to speak Spanish?
Well, I know what you're reading. Yes. So at home, they can only speak Spanish. We're very strict. So my husband is Venezuelan. I'm Venezuelan. We speak Spanish at home, like literally, but they are born here, raised here, so they sometimes go to English. And if they're fighting, they have to fight in Spanish, like, period. Like, you can keep fighting, but you have to start switch to Spanish and continue the fight.
I love that. How old are your daughters? That's amazing.
They're 10 and 8. So it's been fascinating because for both of them, even for my little one, I'm an artist, right? I've always been a photographer because she was like 3 when I jumped ship. I was like, if only you knew, sweetie, like this is new. But for her, that's all they've seen. And it's been fascinating for them to see me start a studio. I opened the doors of my studio. My first studio was open April 2023. So it's not even a year that I opened my studio.
So I didn't ask you, is the studio at home or is it a standalone shop front?
No, it's a standalone studio in Lexington downtown in a very, very high-end like town that is absolutely spectacular. It's walking distance from my house, which is great. So yes, it's a dream come true. It was a space that was not intended to be a studio, but as soon as my realtor took me there, I was like, that's it. And why? Because when I started with my new coach and all this mentoring, I was like, I need a studio. So I rented one studio for the hour and I came home and I told my husband, I'm getting a studio. And he's like, Andre, you don't know how to use lights. I'm getting a studio. There's so much money in studio. You're not understanding. Like, this is it. And literally 3 weeks later, I had a studio. And I opened my studio. And like 2 months after that, I was cutting the ribbon with all the Chamber of Commerce and the whole town rooting for me. And I was like, this is it. You need a studio. And now I'm in love with studio. I thought I was a soul that could not be in four walls in a studio. Now my studio is my happy place. There's no happier place than my studio. I absolutely love it.
That must be a huge portion of the 44% of your outgoings.
So out of my 44%, I can tell you exactly how it was. So studio was 42%. So I brought 182K in studio last year. And 58.
No. But sorry, Andre. What I'm saying is, like, remember we talked about your revenue was 440,000.
Yeah.
You said your profit is 56%. So 44% must be going to tax, wages, studio costs, cost of goods. So the studio must be a huge portion of that, or a huge percentage of those costs.
I got a really good deal in my studio. No one can believe what I pay in my studio. And my landlord is, it's the best person on earth. I adore him. He's a grandpa. Like, he fell in love with what I do. He's also an engineer for a fancy college. So he's like, what? And I made him an offer. My realtor is like, he's never going to accept. He's like, I've got nothing to lose. I have no money to pay for a studio. So we're offering this and we're going to do a 3-year lease. And then the guy said, yes. He
wow.
said, absolutely yes. And I went, what? So that's how I opened my studio. So yes.
Amazing. Amazing.
And then the studio has paid off, I don't know, like multiple X. Like, it's incredible. And living in Boston, that is seasonal, that winter is so long. But still, I haven't had 1 year in my studio. So I still don't know, right? But in only 1 year of studio, my studio brought 182K. Can you believe that? And I opened in April.
Unreal. Well, I think you're going to be on in 6 months talking about this $750,000 turnover.
No. This year, my goal is 500K. It's 500K. I think the massive delta was switching from shoot and burn to IPS. 500K feels great for this year. I'm still a mom of two. My kids are young. So I cannot lose sight of my priorities, which is something tempting because I'm very ambitious. But 500K seems great. 700K is coming in 2 years. Do not worry. We'll talk.
All right. We will get you back on.
You have to keep having a podcast by then.
Andre, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing everything you have. You're incredible. Thank you.
No, thank you so much. This was wonderful.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Andre as much as I did. Andre, if you are listening, I said it earlier, but I really do mean it. Thank you so much for coming on, for sharing everything you have. Massive congrats on your success to date. And I really do mean this, I cannot wait to have you back on the show to hear about your growth, your successes, your wins, and how you've managed to get to where you have in what I'm expecting to be a short time from now. So whether that's 6 months or 12 months, I can't wait to have you back on. For you, the listener, I do hope you got a ton from what Andre had to share. If you would like to see more of her work, go and check out the show notes for this week's episode. They are at photobizx.com/561. I've got links to anything and everything that she mentioned, in addition to examples of her fantastic work. It's all there in that one spot, photobizx.com/561. And if you are a premium member, I'll be adding Andre into our members' Facebook group. So if you do have a follow-up question for her there, you can do that, post that there, tag her so she sees that. Or if you just want to say thanks for coming on and congratulations, you can do that there in the group as well. I know that she'd love to hear from you. Alrighty, that is just about going to wrap up this episode of the podcast. One quick little note, if you are a new premium member, there's been quite a few members coming on recently, please be aware that you can listen to the premium episodes of the podcast, the full interviews every single week via your podcast app, as long as it supports a premium feed URL. So unfortunately, that means it won't work with Spotify. But if you have, for example, an Apple iPhone and you use the Apple Podcast app, you can 100% listen and get every premium episode downloading every week automatically. There are other podcast apps out there. If you're an Android user, things like Downcast or Pocket Cast all support premium feeds. So if you get stuck with that at all, please just shoot me a message and I'll be happy to send you some detailed instructions, point you in the right direction, or jump on a call and help you get that set up so you can listen to those premium episodes, the full length episodes every week on your podcast app, which is one of the easiest and best ways to listen to the podcast. Oh, and also I will say, while I'm talking to you about the premium membership, if you are looking to purchase any additional courses, make sure you use the premium resource page, because all the courses are discounted for premium members. So whether that's with a clickable link where you, where the discount is automatically applied, or I give you a rebate after you purchase, all the instructions are there on that premium resource page. And generally you'll save between 20 and 40% on any of the masterclasses there. And like with anything, like with the upcoming community fundraising masterclass with Joel and Jacinta, if you do purchase something and it's not a good fit, it doesn't work for you, after you've implemented it, you let me know and I will 100% happily refund you, help guide you into something that will be better suited for your business, or jump on a call to help you if you do get stuck with anything in any of the courses. So yeah, it's all there for you on the premium resource page. I'm here to help. I'm here to see you succeed in business. I want you to succeed. And if you do purchase one of those courses and it's been put together by another photographer or marketing expert like Joel, like Ali Stewart Ross, like John Glazer, like Jeff Brown, who have all contributed to the courses there in the premium resource area, I can put you in touch with those course creators if you do get stuck with anything that I can't help you with. So yeah, you're never going to be alone. We want to see you succeed with whatever we're putting out there to help you with your business. Yeah, and that goes for next week's training with Jacinta and Joel. I really do think that's going to be a game changer if you're looking to diversify your marketing. I'll be here to help you with it. Joel and Jacinta will be here to back up everything they teach. And as you know, if you are an existing premium member, you know, you post something and tag Joel inside the group, he's the first one there, happy to help and reach out to you. And yeah, he's an incredible coach, always over delivers, and is as passionate about you succeeding in your business as I am. So yeah, you can purchase and buy and implement with confidence knowing that this worked. In fact, talking about the community fundraising training for next week, Joel was generating over 200,000 Australian dollars every year, so annually, with that strategy alone in his business. And if you aren't aware, Joel had a studio-based photography business, a family portrait photography business in Melbourne. In addition to his coaching business, he was working fewer and fewer hours in the business, basically outsourced to Jacinta and the team. And it was Jacinta that was responsible specifically for implementing the fundraising, the community fundraising strategy. That was her little baby, as you'll hear in next week's training. So yeah, this stuff really works. Alrighty, enough about all that. Hope you have an incredible week ahead. Stay safe, healthy, and well wherever you are in the world. And I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.